man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello, everyone. This is Bob Main, and welcome to episode number 81 of today's Survival Show, where it's my goal to help you live life on your own terms, exactly the way you want, by strengthening your resolve. I like to live by the motto, do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. Thanks for tuning in to episode number 81. This is a practical show. If you're a first-time listener, you're going to find out real quick. I don't get into a whole lot of conspiracy thinking and paranoid stuff like that. I just keep this rooted in common sense. So I'm going to talk about two major issues today. I'm going to talk about cancer and household chemicals. I'll explain to you how that's a survival topic and how that helps us live healthier, more productive lives. Cancer and household chemicals. I'm going to talk about that dreaded disease, cancer, and who has it, and what we can all do to try to fix it. I'm going to talk about how to detox your home, how to make your home a healthier place to live, and how to identify what some of the hazardous chemicals are in your home. And I'm going to also give you some ways that you can go to work on your house right now and start making it a little bit healthier. You'll be surprised by some of what I talk about. In doing the research for this podcast, I came across some pretty alarming stuff. Okay? I mean, this shocked me. Some of this stuff is just as alarming as Nancy Pelosi's Botox treatments. I mean, this is scary stuff. Okay? So, let's dive right into it. And as I mentioned, I'm also going to talk about cancer and someone who has it and what you can do about it. And so let me go ahead and start with that since we're on the subject. There's really no more dreaded disease out there than cancer. It's hideous. Cancer causes millions of deaths each year in America. And it's painful, it's debilitating, and I had a family member die recently of cancer. It causes horrible pain. And sometimes cancer is not discovered in time to cure it. We're getting better, but sometimes we don't discover it in time. And just like when termites infest a home, cancer starts infesting the body. And until the pain begins, it's often sometimes not even discovered. And sometimes it's already in its final stages before it's discovered. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about America. That's right, our government. America has cancer. And that cancer has been eating at our country for 77 years. Literally. It's been literally eating our country alive. The cancer that America has is the same cancer that killed the Roman Empire and many other empires throughout history. That cancer is government growth. Government growth. That's the definition of the cancer that America has. And folks, I'm not picking on a certain political party. Please, please don't accuse me of playing politics on this show. I don't like to do that. Political discussions are heated discussions that none of us should get into, really, if we're really trying to win somebody over. I'm not against politics. I just don't like talking about it, and I don't like talking about it on this show. So please, I'm not picking on a certain political party. In fact, I'm going to pick on both political parties, the two major ones we have here in the United States. Okay, both major parties have contributed to government growth. Let's go back in history a little bit. When FDR started his social security system in the 30s, a lot of people warned him about it. But he didn't pay any heed to the warnings. Okay, the propaganda at that time, back in the 30s, was that, well, this social security is only going to cost 1% of the rich people out there. We'll get them to pay for it. Sound familiar? Or they said, well, we need Social Security because the old folks will be secure. We were told, hey, you know, we're a rich nation. We're a wealthy nation. Things like this shouldn't happen in America. We should care for our elderly, and we should make our old people free from worry. And folks, I had nothing against elderly people. Okay? A lot of elderly people in my wife's family and in my family got taken care of. We took care of them. We took care of them. The government didn't take care of them. We, as their family, took care of them. So I have a question. I have a question. How's the Social Security thing working out for us today? Not so good, I don't think. The pressure on our dollar was backed, used to be backed by gold. And now it's not backed by gold anymore. So there's a huge pressure on our U.S. dollar. And you know what? That pressure on the dollar became so strong that Richard Nixon decided to remove the gold backing when he was in office, which opened the door to what we have now, which is the virtual unlimited printing of money out of thin air. And that removing of the gold backing by Mr. Nixon freed up the politicians to start spending as much as they darn well pleased. They didn't care. The dollars could be just printed out of thin air for no reason, without any regard for paying back the debts. Who cares about that? And those debts were incurred as the result of irresponsible spending. Back in 1965, when Medicare was passed, the cancer caused a little bit of pain. But we were told we're caring for the sick, and we owe it to most of ourselves. That's what the politicians said. We owe it to most of ourselves, so don't worry. The cancer at that point was only at about a 25% cure rate. But nobody noticed. Nobody noticed they could hardly be cured. And in 1972, the geniuses in Washington, under Nixon, when Nixon was president, brought on food stamps and other entitlement programs. And other geniuses that were presidents, like Harry Truman, LBJ, and George W. Bush, got us into wars in Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan, respectively. But after all, we were told, our soldiers are going into battle to protect us. Even though in many cases, that was a blatant lie. Yeah, folks, I'm an equal opportunity politician basher. I bash on both sides. And those costs that they were in, that those presidents were getting into were not typically part of the budget. Or they were so hidden in the budget that nobody could find them, so the cancer started advancing. George W. Bush helped pass the prescription drug bailout program, and it's costed us $1 trillion so far. And both Republicans and Democrats voted for that prescription drug bailout program, all in the name of compassionate conservatism. Remember that? Where did that compassionate conservatism get us? Once again, we were told, we have to help people. We're the richest nation in the world, and we can afford it. Then Obama got elected. He got nominated first, then he got elected. And when he was running for office, he told everybody he wanted to nationalize health care and actually turn America into more of a socialized state, but no one cared. Everybody was so sick of George W. Bush and the stuff that didn't work under him that Obama gets elected. And if you want to know the truth, how I feel about it, that's how we got Obama. Everybody got so ticked off and tired of the way things were going under George W. Bush. They were fed up. They just said, let's just get change. Any change. No matter what the change is, it's going to have to be good. Right. Now the cancer is so obvious, folks, that everybody recognizes it. And everybody's waking up. Oh my God, the country has cancer. Boy, isn't that news. Now America owes China $1 trillion, unbacked by anything. Illegals are everywhere. The deficit is hundreds of billions of dollars a month. Hundreds of billions of dollars a month, folks, not just every year. Welfare recipients, Social Security recipients, Medicare recipients, public housing dwellers, and millions of businesses, citizens, groups, which have been addicted to the government handouts, are now totally incapable of going it alone. Thanks to that cancer, which is now at about a 95% fatality stage. Suddenly, all of a sudden now, when it's probably too late, all of a sudden now the Republicans are up in arms. Oh my God, we got to fix this. Well, guess what? The Republicans have helped feed this cancer for 77 years. Now they say they're opposed to Obamacare. And they're giving strong speeches and threats of lawsuits and everything. And Republicans are now covering up a lot of the misdeeds that they committed also. Republicans, just like the Democrats, have acted irresponsibly, for 77 years, folks. And now I think it's a joke. They're the ones that are now supposed to be able to fix this cancer we have? Now they're all saying, go out and vote in November. Go out and vote. Vote the bums out. Kick them out. And that's going to fix the problem. Republicans are out there saying, let us take control. Yeah. Like they took control of both houses under George W. Bush. Where did that get us? Back then, did they show a track record of fixing the financial cancer that we have? Now the cancer has metastasized all the way into the whole body of America. And the cancer has given us a virtually worthless, folks, worthless currency. Unpayable debts, runaway inflation, and a huge underclass. And now we're bogged down in two pointless, expensive wars, which seem to be pretty much not going so well right now. And we're about to lose our credit rating to boot. So now what? Okay, I've just got done talking about all the problems. Now what? What's the answer? You know, reform the Republican Party with tea parties? Give me a break. You know, even if the Republicans take over Congress in November, even if that happens, the debts we have are still unpayable. And of course, why? I mean, we sure can't let the welfare recipients be denied. I mean, because if they're denied, then America is going to be in ruins pretty quickly from the riots and the arson, which some of them, not all of them, but some of them are going to commit. So it seems to me, folks, like the best thing that you can do, and it's the message that I want to portray on this show, as I try to portray all the time, the best thing that you can do is to protect yourself, to take responsibility, take your life in your own hands, live life the way you want to, and start doing it right now. You know, there's all those conspiracy theorists out there, and I like to make fun of them. I like to talk about how I keep this program rooted in common sense, and I don't wear the tinfoil hat. I don't engage in paranoia thinking. But there are a lot of conspiracy theorists out there, like Gerald Celente, Alex Jones, Jesse Ventura, all these types of doomsday people. Doomsday advocates is what I like to call them. But have you ever noticed something about a lot of these doomsday advocates? A lot of these conspiracy theorists? Have you ever noticed that they rarely propose a solution to the problems that they talk about? How often do they talk about the solution? I'll bet the reason that you listen to my show, and maybe other survival podcasts that are like mine, I'll bet you the reason you tune in and listen is because you don't get the same cancer our government got. You don't want to get that same cancer. And that's good for you if you don't want to get that same cancer. Take responsibility. Think for yourself. Don't become dependent on anyone else unless you really have to become dependent on somebody, and prepare for yourself. Just once, I'd like to see some of these conspiracy theorists spend more time talking about the solution than they are talking about the problem. But prepare, folks. Prepare and do it peacefully. That's the other thing. Please do your protesting peacefully. Please prepare and go through your survival preparations in a civil manner. Don't make a fool out of yourself by being boisterous and doing and saying things that you might regret later. Stay calm and prepare. That's about the best advice I can give you. And if you've listened to this show long enough, you're going to notice that I've given you some places to start your preparations. And maybe for some of you old survival veterans out there, I might have reminded you of some things that maybe you've been forgetting to do, or maybe some things you need to brush up on or improve upon. So let's get rid of this cancer, folks. We together can help cure the cancer that our country has. We're not going to be able to fix our government. And folks, that's not the answer anyway. The answer is not fixing our government. The answer is fixing ourselves. Okay? So I'll get off that subject. I covered that. I'm going to go ahead and get into household chemicals and how to make your house a little bit safer. And I'm going to surprise you as to what some of the chemicals are doing. Before I get into that, Let me talk about some announcements. First of all, our website, todayssurvival.com, the forum website, todayssurvival.com/forum. The forum is really getting pretty cool, folks. You got to come be a part of the like-minded people. You know, there's an old saying that small minds talk about material things. Average minds talk about other people. But great minds talk about ideas and concepts on how to live a better life. And that is what you're going to find in our forum. We're a relatively small group, but we're a friendly group, knowledgeable group, willing to help. Sometimes, folks, it's a good thing if an internet site is small, because it can be then well controlled, and ours is. Also, we have an excellent chat room on our forum. You can learn a lot from these chat rooms. I didn't think so, but a forum member talked me into it, and I've learned a lot. So, this Sunday night, we're going to have a chat night, folks. And by the way, M. Barnettle from our forum is the one that has organized this. Thank you, M. Barnettle. I'd appreciate that. Appreciate you doing this. This Sunday, April 10th, I think he's got it set up from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern. 5 to 8 Central Time. 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Join us on Sunday, folks, for chat night. You have to be a member of the forum. If you're a member of the forum, you'll see a little chat bar right up there near the menu. Just click that and follow the instructions and get on there. We do talk about survival. We don't just chat about a lot of crap. Okay? We do talk about survival topics. We get to know one each other. It's a good way to interact with one another. It's a lot of fun to do. The other announcement, please don't forget about the SAC Club. A couple of good responses have been sent to me from politicians. Spread the word. Hey, chat night might be a good way for you to spread the word. You can score some points and get your name into the drawing for some good books and good CDs and a surprise that I got for you. You could win some of those just by referring somebody in to chat night who's never been a member of our forum before. Okay, and also, we have a long-standing sponsor of this show, Knives and Gear, Jeff Lytle's group. His website, Knives and Gear. He just redid his site, and it's really cool. He's got some excellent new products up there. This SOG Vulcan knife that I got from him is fantastic. That's it. That's all the announcements, all I want to talk about. I don't like to make this show real commercial because it's not my full-time job. So let's get into household chemicals, how to detox your house. Okay? Toxins pollute our homes and endanger our families on a daily basis. In our air, our water, our food, and the substances that we use to clean our homes contain chemicals that are accumulating in our bodies. And they're contributing to a variety of illnesses. I have allergies. Allergies sometimes are caused by the toxins in our home. Chemicals have been linked to autism and, of course, as I just got done talking about, cancer. Okay? Childhood cancers are becoming a leading cause of death in kids, and many of these childhood cancers are being linked to chemicals and household chemicals. Okay? I want to share a few statistics with you, and then I have a surprise audio clip for you. There's a lot of disturbing facts relating to kids and chemicals and household toxins. Autism rates have skyrocketed. It's now estimated that one out of about 160 children now have autism. Just 10 years ago, it was one in 10,000. 5 million children under the age of 18 now have asthma or rheumatoid arthritis, and now these are becoming common childhood disease. And if you're thinking to yourself, what's the link? What's the link between these diseases, these illnesses, and the things that cause the illnesses? How much more obvious does it have to be? Do I have to reach through this microphone and slap you? Over 100 million Americans live in cities that exceed federal smog standards. Most of the municipal city drinking water has over 700 chemicals in it. And over 25%, folks, over one-fourth of the municipal water supplies are in violation of the federal standards for drinking water. How long are we going to sit around and contemplate this evidence before we start taking action about reducing the amount of chemicals? that we are exposed to on a daily basis. We're a dependent society. We're dependent on gasoline. We're dependent on electrical appliances and thousands of products that give us convenience. And this is one of the reasons why those of us who believe in survivalism and getting prepared want to become less dependent, to reduce the exposure to the danger we have. But the convenience that we enjoy here in our country, it comes at a great price. Toxins contaminate our houses. They contaminate the houses, the bodies, and our earth. There are about 80,000 chemicals used in the United States. Did you know that? About 80,000 chemicals. And here's the frightening reality. The EPA has banned only 5 of these 80,000 chemicals. Despite the convincing evidence out there that a lot of these are extremely dangerous. Okay, so with that said, that is going to lead me into the audio clip I want to play for you. I'm going to go ahead and shut up now. And I want you to listen to somebody besides me, because I'm really no huge world-renowned expert on this. But I'm going to play an audio clip from someone who's very knowledgeable. Her name is Dr. Gloria Gilbert. I think that's how she pronounced it. Dr. Gloria Gilbert, G-I-L-B-E-R-E. I will put a link to her website in today's show notes so you can read more about her. She's a doctor of naturopathy and natural health. And after a life-threatening accident and drug therapies, Dr. Gilbert developed many of the invisible illnesses that weren't always recognized by the medical establishment. I like people like this that are always trying to find stuff that aren't commonly recognized. She recovered through non-drug methods, and she's built a successful career based on sharing her knowledge about what works, what doesn't work, and what attains to maintain health and in a toxic world. She's a PhD, she's an internationally respected as a natural medicine researcher, environmental health consultant, author, and authoritative influence on the discovery of causes, effects, and non-drug solutions. She's written several books, including Invisible Illness and Pain and Information Matters. And I really like what she has to say. I think she's very knowledgeable. She makes the points, and she makes them very concise. So with that, here is an audio clip, a little over 3 minutes. Dr. Gloria Gilbert, I hope I've pronounced that right. So I'll shut up, and here you go.
We've talked a lot about toxicity. And we all know today that with what's going on in our environment, we need to get indoors, out of the outside, and in our house to be able to be safe. Tell me a little bit about indoor air quality.
You know, it's one of the worst situations that we have to deal with right now, one of the most chronic. 1 in 4 in the United States, I should say North America, because Canada was included in that, have allergies. 1 in 14 have asthma. And 1 in 18 have what we discussed in earlier shows, chemical sensitivities, mm-hmm. meaning that it doesn't matter what they use. If it's not an organic compound, they react to it.
So you're safe in your house then?
No, you're not. Because you've got dust, cleaning products, carpeting. People paint their homes and they don't use paint that doesn't contain any volatile organic compounds. Mm-hmm. I was just recently quizzed by a local radio station about toxic paints. They know that I'm building a new office, and so they asked if I was going to have the whole office be green. And I said, of course I am. I'm not going to build an office that isn't all green. And they said, well, but what's the difference? Why do we have to have non-toxic paint? The smell goes away after it dries. Well, it doesn't. It's airborne, and it could be up to 6 years depending on the paint.
Wow.
So when you're talking about painting, I have found that the best quality paint, and I use Benjamin Moore, I don't mind saying it, their best quality paint, you only add $5 to the cost per gallon. Per gallon. So if your health isn't worth that, can you imagine in a nursery, in a home, anywhere? You have to have your body be in an environment that's 80% clean so that the 20% of the time that you are in a polluted environment, it's not going to sabotage you. We're not going to exceed that toxic load we talked about earlier, that the body exceeds its toxic load at a certain level. So we try to keep the air quality as clean as possible, and that's from everything. Including, I have a very, very close friend that helps me teach a lot, and I teach in schools locally, and his name is Dusty.
Huh.
And do you know what Dusty is?
Well, Dusty
looks...
cute
little furry friend here with his little fangs on the sides.
I'm not sure. What is Dusty?
Dusty is a dust mite.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Children in the schools love it when I teach there. But Dusty is cute as a stuffed animal. But the dust mites can actually invade most of our pillows. That's why you should always, you know, people sometimes have their pillow for 10, 15 years. Children have a lot of allergies, not just children, but specifically children, because their immune system is not able to cope with all the dust mites. So a foam rubber pillow, number one, is a petrochemical. You should not be using foam.
Really?
Absolutely, unless it's natural rubber. There are companies now that sell natural rubber pillows and mattresses. But I have an organic down pillow that has been hyper-washed. That means that they wash it 50 times to take all of the dander and all of the dust off of the feathers before they make the pillows. But I still wash that pillow once a month. It gets washed in hot water, dried in a hot dryer, and put back on the bed. So your close proximity, think about it, is your sheets, your blankets, and your pillow, right?
Yes.
It's indoor air quality for 7, 8, 9 hours a night.
But you kind of said sheets and mattresses, or pillows and mattresses. Your mattress is okay, isn't it?
No, no. Because the mattresses all have, think about it, the mattresses have, under law, have a spray of flame retardancy.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you get a letter from your doctor, which I have written many, many recommendations for patients to get a mattress made without the flame retardants, without the scotch guarding, think about it, Lyle. And then you end up with all of the foam, which is petrochemicals, and all of the other chemicals in the polyesters and the nylons and the things that they use to quilt the mattresses. So you end up in the toxic soup that you're sleeping on. Now, there's ways to protect that, and we can discuss that in another segment. But if you're going to have to be in a regular mattress, the least you can do is make sure that you launder your sheets correctly, meaning that you use an organic fabric softener, whether it's a liquid or a sheet, that is scented with something that's an essential oil, not a synthetic fabric softener sheet that has petrochemicals and many times even formaldehyde. And then you're laying on the pillow, which now is loaded with Dusty and all his friends and all his relatives. And if you look at a dust mite under a microscope, you would never have a dirty pillow again. It's that dangerous.
I wonder if we can revisit this. You've pretty much shocked me as we are now.
Oh, but he's so cute.
Yes, and I understand there's probably 500,000 of those in there,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
But there are 3 or 4 other things that I'd like to ask you about around the house, so if you don't mind, let's pick back up
absolutely
at another time.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I didn't know that about the toxic paint. The lead-based and toxic paints that some of us have in the home, or even if you've gotten rid of the paint, I didn't know that that could hang around for 6 years. So that's something to worry about. And so I thought you'd enjoy that brief clip. I got another one coming up here from her pretty soon, too. But I want to mention this. Our neighbor to the north of the United States, Canada, they have a hot list of banned or restricted substances that closely resembles the list in Europe. And you know, I think it's clear, however, that we simply cannot rely on the American government and industry to protect us from the hazards and toxins from which our European and our Canadian neighbors are now facing that same protection. They're getting protection from it, and we're not. And folks, you know, I'm not a big government advocate. All right, I just got done earlier in this podcast harping on big government. There are some roles of government that I think are appropriate. I'm a limited government advocate. Again, I'm a limited government advocate, but I think that sometimes government can get it right. And when it comes to controlling harmful chemicals and fighting off some of the major chemical companies that want to continue to put these out there and put them in the market without any regard for what they might do for health, I come down in favor of this. You might disagree with me. And it's okay. I've said this many times. It's okay to disagree on my show. I welcome disagreements. I love it. I love comments. I love comments on the forum. I love comments on the blog. If you can set me straight, hey, I'm open to it. I can handle criticism. I like it. I don't get offended. I take things constructively. You know, go back and listen to that one podcast I did on handling criticism. I live by that. I live by the theories that my mentor taught me on how to handle criticism. So feel free. Send me everything that you need to say about it. I just think it's important that we do ask our government to do a better job of protecting us against these chemicals. But like any other government agency, they're probably not going to do a good enough job. In fact, they don't. So we need to protect ourselves. We also need to protect ourselves by becoming very well-informed citizens, very well-informed about how we live. Okay? And, you know, we've got to have a plan for how we're going to live. We have to have a philosophy about how we're going to live, and we have to take some of these matters into our own hands, especially when it comes to keeping our house healthy and free of the chemicals that infect it. All right? So let me list some of these dangerous chemicals that America just can't seem to live without. One of them's Freon. There's a lady named Dr. Hilda Clark. She's done extensive work investigating toxins that were contaminated by her patients. And her results were very shocking when I read them. She says refrigerators can be one of the top cancer hazards in people's homes. Every single person that this lady tested had Freon in their body, whether they had cancer or not. But she found that in cancer patients, the Freon was always concentrated in the cancerous organ. Once Freon enters the body, it may never leave, since the body doesn't have a method of detoxing it. Okay, so she recommends an alternative, which is a refrigerant called Forane, which, although is toxic, it's better handled by the body than Freon is. Another chemical that a lot of Americans just can't seem to do without, chlorine. Okay, I got lots of chlorine in my house. Maybe I need to take a look at that. When it's in its liquid and solid state, it's powerful bleaching agent, no doubt. It's powerful for bleaching and disinfecting. And I store chlorine. I store chlorine for a lot of disinfectant purposes. I think you should have some, as long as it's well controlled and it's kept in a safe place. But did you also know that chlorine has been used in warfare? It's a choking agent toxin. Okay? Today, though, chlorine's used in water purification. It's in bleach. It's in disinfectants. Excuse me. And, for example, paper companies bleach their products with chlorine. I got a friend of mine who works for a paper company up in Wisconsin. He and I grew up together, and he tells me about all the chlorine that they use in making paper products. Okay, chlorine also irritates the skin, and it negatively affects the important Acidophilus living in our intestines. You know what Acidophilus is? Acidophilus is good bacteria. It's good bacteria in your system, in your intestines. You do need some bacteria in your intestines. You know, you find that when a person takes a lot of antibiotics for a long time, if they go take a lot of antibiotics without replacing it with Acidophilus, they cause a lot of problems. You need that good bacteria. Chlorine will negatively affect that good bacteria in your system. And it causes cancer-causing compounds, and it can deplete vitamin E and also very important polyunsaturated fats. Okay? So be wise with chlorine. I wouldn't go crazy with it. I know people who clean lots of parts of their house with bleach. You know, toilets, okay, stuff like that. If you have to clean up some kind of a disinfectant, you know, out of your garage, if you have some animal died in your garage or animal died on your property and you want to disinfect around it, or as Cody Lundeen says, you know, disinfecting if there's dead bodies, whatever. You know, just be limited and be careful with chlorine. Other chemicals called phthalates, I think is how that's pronounced. These are clear liquids used as plasticizers. They make things bend and they make fragrances last longer. They're used in nail polish, cosmetics, toys, adhesives, caulk and paint. And they're used in polyvinyl chloride, PVC pipes, which are found everywhere. PVC is also found in flooring, wall covering, food storage containers, teething rings for kids. Think about that one. The problem is these phthalates are toxic to the reproductive system, and they may also cause cancer. Okay, this is one reason why people say don't let the plastic wrap try to come in contact with the food in the microwave as limited as possible. All right, another chemical that are found in homes that's dangerous, benzoprenes. These chemicals are highly carcinogenic hydrocarbons, which are byproducts of combustion. Typically, they're found in exhaust fumes. And they're also found in cigarettes, tobacco smoke, charbroiled food, burnt toast, and for those of you who like to heat your house with wood, it's found in wood smoke. Okay, in 2001, the National Cancer Institute found high levels of benzoprenes in steak, chicken, and hamburgers that were grilled well done. Another good reason to eat it medium or medium rare. Okay, Teflon is another chemical found in your home. PFOA, or perfluorocetonic acid. I think I pronounced that right. Anyway, it's the chemical used in the manufacture of Teflon coatings in cookware. DuPont, the maker of Teflon, says it doesn't understand why PFOA is showing up in the blood of people throughout America. DuPont also says in its tests that they show Teflon is not toxic to humans and that the cookware is safe at temperatures up to 650 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, the EPA doesn't quite agree with that. The EPA issued a report stating a high probability that PFOA is a carcinogen. And in addition to that, the EPA recently fined DuPont in the amount of $17 million in a case involving the exposure of employees to Teflon chemicals. Now, I know what you might be thinking, Bob, the EPA is full of garbage, right? The EPA is a highly political group. Well, you know what? There are some good things that the EPA does. I'll give you the fact that the EPA gets a little carried away with some of their environmental protections. But trying to keep cancerous chemicals out of your house, I would say, is probably a good thing. Okay? A few more chemicals that are found to be toxic. Volatile organic compounds. Some of these VOCs, the volatile organic, you're going to be surprised here. A lot of these are found in your environment, especially your indoor environment. But here are three of the most dangerous of what they call the VOCs, the volatile organic compounds. Formaldehyde. Okay, formaldehyde is a very well known carcinogen. It's still used in cleaning products, folks. Believe it or not, it's used in permanent press fabrics. It's used in wallpapers, furniture, mattresses. Ooh, that's scary. Formaldehyde in mattresses. Okay? Formaldehyde is a respiratory irritant that can have very, very serious effects on the body. Dizziness, insomnia, headaches, rashes. Okay? Found in bed mattresses. Formaldehyde foam insulation was banned in the U.S. in the 1980s, but it's still used in a lot of other products, especially in pressed wood and particle board. Pressed wood and particle board, formaldehyde is in there. So you might want to think about buying a solid wood instead of pressed wood and particle board. Okay, another one's called PERC. Perchloroethylene is an organic solvent that has been listed by the EPA as a hazardous air pollutant. It encompasses 90% of all groundwater pollution in the United States. PERC is used by many dry cleaners, even though it is a carcinogen that can damage the liver, kidneys, and the vision of people. Okay, and there's a lot safer alternatives to PERC that dry cleaners can use, but only about 75% of dry cleaners still use this dangerous chemical called PERC. Three quarters of them are still using it. PERC takes a while to vent from the clothes after they're cleaned. Okay, so one thing you might want to think about doing is if you're taking your clothes to the dry cleaner, let them air outside. Put them outside and kind of let them air out a little bit if you can, weather permitting. After you pick them up from the dry cleaner. Okay, benzene is another chemical that's also used in a variety of a lot of products. It's in paints. You heard her talking about that on the audio clip. It's in paints, plastics, detergents, rubber, and solvents. It's also found in cigarette smoke. The EPA has named this chemical a Class A carcinogen, benzene. Okay, benzene exposure has been linked to things like leukemia, skin problems, respiratory illness, lung cancer, bladder cancer, and lymph gland cancer. And even at low levels, benzene exposure can cause memory loss, tremors, headache, dizziness, unconsciousness, and various things like that. And if you feel you've been exposed to benzene, especially like at work, for example, get a hold of your doctor. Okay, so now that brings me to the next segment of this podcast. Now that I've been scaring you here about everything that all these chemicals can do for you, now I want to talk to you about some steps that you can take. I got 10 steps I want to share with you that you can take to make your house safer and healthier. So here's the good news. I just got done talking about the bad news. All right, now let me give you some good news. I'm going to start the good news off. I'm going to start the how-tos off with another audio clip for you to listen to from Dr. Javert. So listen to this, and when she gets done, I'll come back on with some tips that I want to share with you. Here you go.
Dr. Javert.
Yes, sir.
We've been talking about indoor air quality. Mm-hmm. Pretty scary.
Huge, huge issue today.
Tell me a little bit about emissions and outgassing. What does it literally mean?
What does it mean? That's a great question, because people don't understand what outgassing or off-gassing, both terms are correct. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that you're buying a set of bookcases for your son or daughter for their bedroom. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, this is an inexpensive price. After all, they're kids. It's not really going to matter. They're probably going to beat them up. But if they're made of anything but solid wood, you are literally off-gassing formaldehyde and a lot of other chemicals that are very, very dangerous to our health, because the particle board that's used is made with a formaldehyde-type substance, and worse many times, plus all the glues that they use are toxic. That's why bookcases, for instance, or desk or furniture that has composites smell so bad for so long. It's got that. It's not a new smell. It's a toxic smell. I get really upset when people say, oh, that new car smell. Well, that new car smell is a toxic soup you're sitting in. So when you talk about off-gassing, you're talking about any furniture that has any kind of a synthetic ingredient. I have 4 new chairs since 1977. I have antiques, but I've only had 4 chairs upholstered since 1977 because I don't want the off-gassing. Of course, it's nice fabric. They look like they're new. But I haven't bought anything new purposely because everything I have is solid wood. In my office, everything I have is solid wood. When you are painting, as we talked about briefly in another segment, you must keep in mind that if you're using paint that is the normal paint that you buy, and you're buying it because it's cost-effective, it's well worth spending about $5 a gallon more to buy a paint that is no VOC. That stands for volatile organic compounds, which are deadly to us. This is why painters and artists have so many issues, because they literally start killing brain cells. Volatile organic compounds are neurotoxins. That means that it kills brain cells. And we never get, you were talking earlier about one of our colleagues that was discussing, Dr. Kidd, that was discussing about rejuvenation and the cells in the body. But you're only born with X amount of brain cells. That's something you don't regenerate. You can give them more strength. You can make them healthier. But once you've lost a neuron, you've lost it.
You know what? I would love to come back to this and talk about these problems in the workplace. But thank you
okay,
very much.
Okay, now you see where I got all that information from on volatile organic chemicals and not using press board or particle board for your furniture and stuff like that. I listened to that audio clip, and that's kind of where I pulled some of that from. Now, let's get into some solutions. 10 affordable ways to start making your house a little bit safer. And notice I said affordable. These are things that you can afford to do that don't cost much at all. Now, first of all, get your house dust under control. House dust aggravates allergies. I know that firsthand. I'm a big allergy sufferer. Big time. I got to watch that. It contains more hazardous chemicals than you might think, including lead, fire retardants, and pesticides. Okay, and a lot of people say, well, how do you reduce house dust? What's the best way to do it? What I found is to replace the wall-to-wall carpeting with wood, cork, tile, stuff like non-vinyl linoleum, stuff like that. Okay, but if that's not economically feasible for you, if you can't afford to do that, then just vacuum as frequently as you possibly can, getting into corners, floorboards, and make sure that your vacuum has a real strong HEPA filter in it. Very important, have a really good quality HEPA filter so that dust and dirt can go right straight into the bag, and that's filtering out the small particles. Vacuum at least a couple times a week with that vacuum with the HEPA filter in it, and clean the filter bag every time after you get done vacuuming so that the dust isn't spewed back into the air so much. Also, believe it or not, another thing that you can do to make your house a healthier home. Hey, this one might shock you. Maybe you've never thought about this. Kick your nicotine habit. If you're still a smoker, time to get rid of it. Okay? An estimated 40% of America's children are exposed to secondhand smoke at home, and it's one of the biggest triggers of asthma in kids. Okay? Not to mention, folks, it's expensive. Not only will you make your house a cleaner place, but you're going to save a lot of money if you're not smoking. And not just saving money on the cigarettes, but saving money on the health bills later. All right. I know that's a sensitive subject. I'll just leave that one alone any more than what I've already said. Another step you can do is get your home tested. Both lead paint and radon are very serious hazards. Don't ignore them. Lead poisoning is known to cause brain damage, and in young children and also in fetuses. Okay. Radon is a cancer-causing radioactive gas. Get your home tested for some of that stuff. See if you have it in there. The main source of lead is old paint. And, you know, I used to live in a house a while back. I used to live in a house with a lot of old paint. It was built like in 1971 or something like that. And it had a lot of lead-based paint in it. And that's not good. Lead paint can be a problem in any home built before 1978. In 78 is when lead paint was banned for good in home construction. Okay, the big problem is when that lead-based paint starts to chip and erode. That's where the problem starts to occur. Okay, and remember I mentioned radon gas before? Radon gas comes from the natural breakdown of the soil and the rock underneath your house. Just about any home out there can have a radon gas problem. Doesn't matter if it's a new home or an old home or well-sealed or a drafty house, whether it has a basement or not, it can have radon gas. And breathing air conditioning radon gas can cause lung cancer. In fact, it's the second leading cause of lung cancer after quitting smoking. Excuse me, after smoking. It's the second leading cause after smoking. So quit the smoke, check for radon gas. Okay? If you smoke and your home has high radon levels, your risk of lung cancer is very, very high. All right, the fourth thing you can do, clean up your house a little bit and get it a little bit more chemical-free, dump the pesticides. I learned this when I grew up on an organic hobby farm. My mom was Mrs. Organic. My mom was anti-chemicals. Pesticides kill roaches, mice, ants, and lawn pets. But, excuse me, lawn pests. Lawn pets. Okay, you don't want to kill the lawn pets. You want to kill the lawn pests. In other words, you want to kill the fire ants, and you want to kill all the critters. In Texas, we got a bad fire ant problem. Real bad. It's going to start heating up this time of the year, too. Okay, and everybody knows about the pesticides and how bad they are. Some alternatives to pesticides. Save your money and promote good health by focusing on, prevention of the bugs and preventing the pests. You know, simple steps you can take to keep roaches away, for example, like washing dishes very, very carefully, cleaning up all the food residue all the time from your house, keeping food packages and containers tightly closed, sealing any cracks in your house that are the point of entry, and these are the ways that the roaches get into your house. Okay, I mean, this is all basic stuff, folks, but it really, really works. Instead of spraying the herbicides on your lawn, for example, don't be so worried about the weeds. All right, get used to a little imperfection. Okay, rather than spraying your lawn to get rid of those weeds and making your lawn more dangerous, get out there and burn some calories and lose a little bit of weight, maybe pull in some weeds. Okay, you can learn about non-chemical common sense ways of reducing indoor and lawn gardening pests. There's a concept called integrated pest management. Google on the EPA's website, Google Citizen's Guide to Pest Control and Pesticide Safety. I did. I read that. It's pretty interesting stuff. Google that. That might be a whole separate podcast that I might do someday. Also, another step that you can take in your home, be careful with plastic bottles and canned foods. And there's a chemical in plastic bottles and canned foods. It's hard for me to pronounce some of these chemical names, but I think this one's bisphenol A, a chemical found in polycarbonate plastics, and it's still being debated as to how bad it is for you. But the plastics are used in some of the water bottles and the baby bottles that you find on the market today. Bisphenol A is also used in epoxy resins. And bisphenol A is also called BPA. So what can you do to eliminate your exposure to BPA? Look for safer water and look for safer baby bottles. Look for either tempered glass bottles or plastic bottles made of cloudy plastics. Don't microwave plastic food containers. Okay, heat can break down the plastic fibers. Don't microwave with cling wraps on it. Put food in a glass or a ceramic dish and then cover it with a cover or cover it with some paper towels or something like that and stick it in the microwave. Eat fewer canned foods. It's hard for me. I like to store a lot of canned foods. I like to put a lot of canned meats in my bug out bag and in my travel emergency bag and things like that and store canned foods. If the stink hits the fan when it's an emergency, it's a heck of a lot easier to open up a can, in my opinion, than have to start cooking. But, yeah, I guess you have a little bit more of an exposure there to BPA. It's a trade-off for me. On this one, I think I might lean towards the canned foods. I'm not so sure. Also, use glass and ceramic containers to store foods. Okay, step number six, filter your tap water. Another thing you can do to your house. Filtered tap water is an excellent choice for drinking. Not only does it taste better, but the right kind of filter, you're getting a lot of those nasty chemicals out of the water. Not all of them, but you're getting a lot of the crappy ones out of there. Okay, it's an easy thing to do, and you can buy real high-grade water filters that say right on them. It advertises right on the water filter, and even in the instructions, it gives you a long list of all the chemicals. A lot of these filters will get 97 or 98% of some of those chemicals out of your water. So that might sound simple, but a lot of people don't do it. Okay, another thing to detox your home, stay away from Teflon. Stay away from pots and pans with Teflon. You know, a lot of people kind of know that, but you'd be amazed how many people still have stuff in their cookingware that still has Teflon on it. Okay? There are chemicals that are called PFCs. I think it's pronounced perfluorinated chemicals. They're PFCs, and they use these chemicals to make the nonstick coatings like Teflon. And these chemicals can accumulate in your body over time if you're using a lot of cooking utensils with Teflon on it or Teflon in it. Okay? So if you have to really have nonstick cookware, if you just can't do without it, you have to have that nonstick stuff, or if it's too expensive for you to go replacing it all right away, then just follow some basic cooking practices like don't preheat your pans on high and use the lowest temperature you possibly can to cook that food that's in the Teflon dishes. Okay, another tip I want to give you. This sounds simple. This sounds real simple, but wash your hands. There's a lot of reasons for that, but you're also going to wash off all the chemicals that your hands may have touched. Like, for example, when you were cleaning. Okay? I mean, you know, during cold and flu season, everybody says wash your hands to get that stuff off. Same thing with the chemicals. Okay? And I know hand washing is boring, you know, but it's really, really key to keeping stuff off of a kid's hands, and it's also key to keeping stuff off of your hands. By the way, something else, skip antibacterial soap. Don't use that stuff. It's junk. All right. There's a lot of researchers that believe that the quest for hyper cleanliness might be leading to weakened immune systems, and maybe possibly even causing more asthma and allergies. Okay, there is a chemical in antibacterial soap called triclosan, and it's not a very good chemical either. It's also found in some of the deodorants out there and even some of the cosmetics and the fabrics and the plastic kitchenware and stuff. And it has the potential to affect sex hormones and interferes with the nervous system. So again, you know, the antibacterial stuff, antibacterial soap, folks, in my opinion, it doesn't work. I don't like it. Just get good old fashioned soap. It'll do the job. It did the job for many, many years. It's cheap. Buy yourself a whole bunch of supply of just good old fashioned Dial soap or Dove soap, whatever. Okay. The ninth tip. There's a total of 10 tips here. You know, conventional cleaning supplies under your sink. Check those cleaning supplies that are under the sink. You know, take a look at the warning labels on them. Okay, you'd be surprised what you'll see on there. Just stuff that they sell as a good cleaner for your home, they're not going to tell you in the ad that it's got some dangerous chemicals mixed in there. If you've ever mopped with ammonia, all right, you ever notice how your lungs constrict? Okay, these chemicals have a very powerful effect, especially on kids with asthma especially. I got a cousin with bad asthma, and you know what? It took them a long time to realize it, but you know, my brother finally realized it. That some of the cleaning compounds they were using was affecting his kids. Excuse me, it's my nephew, not my cousin. Anyway, they finally realized that it was affecting some of the kids' asthma conditions. So be careful with what you're mopping with and what you're cleaning the kitchen with and so forth and cleaning the floor with. You're polluting the indoor air when you don't really need to. Okay, there's a lot of green cleaners out there that don't contain chlorine. They don't have pneumonia or ammonia in them, excuse me. You know, find the ones that say petroleum-free, biodegradable, or phosphate-free. Okay, and let me give you a couple natural suggestions for cleaners. Use vinegar instead of bleach. Use baking soda to scrub your tiles and things like that. Hydrogen peroxide to remove stains. Vinegar also removes grease and soap buildup. Okay, for cleaning your windows, try some diluted lemon juice or vinegar in cleaning your windows. Okay, my mom used to do that. It's a trick I learned from her. Okay, you can use borax to inhibit mold growth. And you can boost the cleaning power of soap or detergent. And you can remove stains and even kill cockroaches when sugar is mixed with it. So think about some of that kind of stuff. Now, 10, last but not least, number 10 that you can do to help make your home a healthier place. I've covered this before, and I just couldn't resist the temptation to cover this again. Eat organic and eat healthy. When you eat organic food, you ingest fewer pesticides. You also help protect the environment. Okay, research shows that some organic food is more nutritious, and organic fruits and vegetables have a 25% higher level of nutrients than most conventional produce. Now, I know it can be more expensive. It's a heck of a lot more expensive. How much is your life and your body worth? Think about that. Okay, but let me share some ideas with you on how to cut the cost of organic foods. Buy in-season produce. Okay, if some of you are growing your own produce, then of course you're controlling this. But you know what? If you're still buying your produce, buy stuff that's in season. Okay, when it's plentiful and when it's cheaper, and go to farmers markets and places like that. Be selective. Buy the produce that absorbs the most organic stuff. Excuse me. What I meant to say is buy the produce that absorbs the most pesticide if it's not organic. Things like berries that soak up a lot more pesticides than fruit do, and you don't really need organic bananas. Stay away from that. That's kind of a gimmick. I mean, because they're protected by the peel. Buy organic for the foods that you eat most often. If you can afford it, try to find a way to fit it into your budget. But I'm trying to give you some ideas here to help keep some of the costs down. And of course, you know, everybody knows the most obvious way to spend less money on organic foods is to grow them yourself. So for those of you who are avid gardeners, grow them and grow them organically. All right, that pretty much covers the 10 tips I wanted to talk about, some of the solutions instead of talking about all the problems. So pay attention to what's inside of our houses, folks. Don't neglect this. This is a subject I rarely hear talked about very much in survival circles. Again, I'm trying to cover some things that a lot of people aren't out there already talking about or posting on different survival blogs and things. Because I'm a firm believer, folks. I'm a firm believer an ounce of prevention is always worth a pound of cure. You know, and if we can prevent as many disasters from happening to us as we can. And, folks, getting cancer, isn't that a disaster? Asthma, isn't that a disaster? Okay, you know, lung problems, isn't that a disaster? Diabetes, things like that, aren't those disasters? These are preventable disasters. These are things that we can take steps to do right now. And as I like to say, thrive today so that you can survive tomorrow. So my name is Bob Main, and you've just listened to episode number 81 of today's survival show, where it is my goal to help you harness the power of choice to have a cleaner home. Harness the power of choice to start living the way you want and to live as healthy as you can and as disease-free as you can. And strengthen your resolve. And as Teddy Roosevelt once said, do what you can with what you have where you are. So I'm going to go ahead and bring the show to a close, folks. Don't forget to support the show in any way that you possibly can. And if this has helped you and if I, you know, helped you think of some things that will make your life better, if you can't afford a simple donation, great. If you can't, that's okay too. I just love to do this and have a great time. So I'm going to go ahead and sign off and say thanks for listening to episode number 81. And I'll catch you later. Thanks. Bye-bye.